Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory, find the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to want to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Product page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Dr. Felicia Clark. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Watson.
Welcome to the show. And she is one of my Denver homegirls. It is an honor to have a Denverite on the show. I gotta ask you this question before we begin. Are you a Denver Broncos fan?
I am. Yes, I am.
I love you. Harvard. Yes.
Guilty.
That was the right answer. Right answer. Go Broncos. So for those folks out there who aren't Broncos fans, too bad. All right. So it's an honor to have you on the show. Can you briefly introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell them how to contact you? Because we're going to have a great interview. I'm looking forward to this. And it's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, my name is Dr. Felicia Clark. My website is drfeliciaclark.com. And you can find me in a new app that'll be launched in September called Girl. It's for Black women, built by Black men who love their mamas.
Wow. Okay. I like that. Wow. I'm going to check that one out. And you have a book. You have several books. Tell us where we can find your book.
This is the book I think that would best serve your audience. It's called My Echo Journal. And it's based on the science of divine timing. And it helps you break patterns that don't serve you. And it's available on Amazon and on my website as well.
Awesome. I love it. So folks, get out there and read that book, because we all have some bad habits that Usher talks about that we need to break and do some things differently, right? That's one of my favorite songs, Bad Habits, though. But for another show, all right? But it's an honor to have you on. Dr. Felicia, as you know, our podcast really brings amazing people like you on and have you talk us through one of the obstacles or trials that you face in your life and kind of give us a blueprint on how to do it, because we have a lot of people out there who are trying to figure out how to get beyond some of the challenges they may be facing right now or in the past. And amazing people like you can kind of help us get a blueprint for getting that done. So I'm going to start with my first question. Dr. Felicia, can you give us, tell us about the biggest obstacle you had to face either professionally or personally in your life?
There were many, but one that I face ongoing that I want to talk about, because I think a lot of people have this. I had a tragic incident happen to me as a young girl that just traumatized me and rewired my nervous system towards anxiety. Wow. And so it's something I just live with. And I've done therapy, and many people in therapy turn to substance abuse and self-harm, all kinds of things. And I knew that wasn't for me. I knew I wasn't going to do that. Sure. And so ongoing, I have to process out anxiety from my body with yoga, with natural food, with holistic health and things like that. So I met people who do that well, and that's very inspiring. And again, it's not, I'd love to say, oh, I'm done with it. Sure. But I've really overcome it enough so that it doesn't rule my life, and sure, it doesn't, I no longer have some of the unhealthy behaviors that are associated with feeling anxiety.
That's powerful. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because oftentimes in our society, we kind of minimize anxiety and the impact that it can have on a person as well. I know you also do a lot of speaking on body shaming and stuff like that as well. Is there a connection between anxiety and some of your body shaming message as well?
You know, it's the combination, but specifically, I was born with what some people would call defects. I believe you get the body you get. So I didn't walk until close to 2 years old. I had to see orthopedic surgeons. My legs are uneven. And now you can't really tell, but when I was younger, it was pronounced and it was difficult for me to walk. So then I didn't potty train correctly. So then I was chastised for that, like I'm doing something bad when really like walking is a challenge. Can you get off my back? You know, so things like that. I couldn't see as well. I've never had 20/20 vision. I've gotten enough surgeries now so that I can see well enough, but I was legally blind. Lots of little things that you wouldn't see from, I didn't look like I had those physical challenges, but I did. And so I was treated like I just wasn't paying attention. I'm not listening. Where's your head at? And people even say, you know, what's wrong with you? Are you blind? You know, things like that. Sure. And so I also had allergies. My respiratory system didn't grow the way that normal people grow. And so it was mistaken for asthma and other things, and it's not. So all of those physical challenges I was dealing with, and I still have some of them. So I had to learn how to love the body I was given and work with what I've got. And nature's so beautiful. Nature has a solution for everything. So absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of where I started, but people assume it's because my size or it's a, and that's it too. I think whatever size you are,
absolutely,
you got the body you got, work with what you've got.
You're exactly right, you know, and I love the piece that nature has a way of enlightening us to, you know, to really embrace who we are and what we have. You know, so again, you know, oftentimes our society, I feel, minimizes anxiety and some of the things that kind of go along with it. Talk to me about how it was being a young person and even an adult to some degree, dealing with issues around anxiety. What were the feelings and emotions that, yes, you're anxious, but what else comes along with that? When you experience,
so before I knew what it was, before I had language, I just always felt this sort of curling in my stomach. And people say weak stomach and things like that, but I mean, I would regurgitate sometimes at odd moments. I think by age 9, I was being looked at for ulcers because I had so much worry, and acid gets produced from that, and it was starting to eat my stomach lining. Just the feeling of, I got to keep it together. So you check out of being present. Wow. It's a tension that you want to go away. This is why, unfortunately, some people turn to substances. Some people take their lives because they just can't live with that feeling anymore. And the sad thing, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I was able to quell my anxiety enough so that I knew what normal was. Some people don't know what normal is, and then it's easier to live with, actually. You know, so before I knew what normal was, I just, that was just the normal feeling for me until I knew it was making me sick. And then I tried other things. And once I felt with that, what normal was, that was hard for me. I don't remember my exact age, but you know, I was a teenager and or maybe preteen, but my body had reached puberty. So then there's a lot going on for girls that when your body changes already without all the other stuff. And I remember going into a huge depression, feeling so abnormal because I had felt what anxiety that I knew I shouldn't be having this much anxiety. Absolutely. And it was very sad. I was sad that my body was like that.
Yeah, that's powerful. And again, I thank you so much for having the courage to share your story and being who you are today as well. You know, so as you look back, what were some of the coping mechanisms that you kind of used to help yourself elevate beyond some of the anxiety?
Busyness, workaholism. I was in 50 clubs. I was class president. I was, you know, AP classes, just homework, busy, 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 busy. And then when I got home, I was tired and ready to sleep. Mm-hmm. Sports, I played volleyball. And so I don't know that that's the healthiest thing, but all that movement does process anxiety out of your body. I just did it to excess. And it was a way of checking out in life. And so that's actually not good, but you're very rewarded for working, and being a workaholic.
Absolutely. Are there any things that you do as an adult to curb anxiety now, or is it still an issue for you?
Yes, I became an energy healer because I actually had to learn to rewire my energy body. And so now I feel mild anxiety, but it's not overwhelming. I can be present. Sure. And but I am triggered sometimes where I do have anxiety attacks. And being an energy healer, I also take Tantra. That kind of brings me back.
Sure.
And that's important because I would say maybe 20 years ago, they started giving me anxiety medication and I knew I didn't want that. It just felt like total disharmonious in my body. And I would rather just be sick with the anxiety than have whatever was going on in my body. I remember my sleeping was off. I had insomnia, all kind of new problems to fix the old problems. Right? So like that's not for me.
Yes. You know. That is awesome. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
That's a great way of coping with it. And I appreciate you sharing it, because there have been a number of people on the show who have talked about the healing process of energy that comes along with that as a strategy as well. So as you were going through this, you know, as a young adult, teenager, did you have any mentors or guides to kind of help you figure out what was taking place and how to get beyond it?
Absolutely not. It was a source of shame that people put on me. I mean, I've done a lot of work with shame, and some shame is yours because shame serves a purpose. You know, it modifies unhealthy behavior. It gives you a standard for the community that you're in. And when you're acting outside of those things, it's good to bring you back. But when you're feeling shame that isn't that, often it's shame that's not your own.
Sure.
And so I realized I really wasn't ashamed of myself. I just had challenges, but other people put that on me. You're not acting right. You're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be, you know, normal people do this and you're not. And so I remember not, I tried to hide it. I tried to overly look normal, act normal based on reading people. I actually read books like, you know, I remember I read this book that said, notice something that people are wearing that they put time in. So like you did extra to put this, you know, red flower on your lapel there. So, and you have a signifier on the other side as well. So that matters.
That's my Omega Sci-Fi.
Omega Sci-Fi, I'm AKA. Okay, I didn't know
you were. All right, there you go.
See, you embellish your look, so that obviously matters to you. So that's what I would notice and mention. And so those are ways to connect with people, because anxiety creates this disconnection, because you have people's energy. Most people are wonderful and beautiful, but the few people who are not can really set you off.
Sure.
So it's like you move with caution. Now I'm pretty good at it, but as a young woman, I wasn't. And I never knew who's safe for my energy field and who was not, because I tune into people's energy.
That is awesome. And I think that's gonna be helpful for a lot of folks out there, that, you know, just knowing how to better connect with people is such a critical skill as well. So, you know, Dr. Felicia, you know, as you look at you look at your darkest day, and what kept you going forward saying, you know, I'm not gonna give up. I'm going to get beyond this thing. What kept you fighting to go forward on your darkest day?
My dad was great. My dad was, he had a tough upbringing. And both my parents were married at 17 and moved away and made a family. So you can imagine, they were in high school, 11th and 12th graders with family. Both very responsible, good people, but kids raising kids.
Sure.
And so my father was very, I did some bad stuff that, you know, kids do.
Yes.
And I was afraid to come home. And I could drive at a young age, you know, long before I had a license. And my father had multiple cars. So I just left in one of his cars. And then I ended up having an accident in his car and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't go back home, you know. And my dad was had like a very volatile personality. He'd really go off when he was angry. And I was like, you know, he's going to kill me because I wrecked his car and I left and I did all this stuff. And so finally, you know, people were telling him, you know, he's like, your daughter came by. What's going on? So when I finally came home, I'm thinking I'm going to catch it. And he gave me a big, big hug.
Wow. Yeah.
I always really appreciate my father for this. He said, never be afraid to come home.
Yes.
And he said, there's nothing you could do that would make me stop loving you.
That's right.
And he's no longer with us, but even now I receive that you can get over, you know, if you go left, then you know you need to steer back right.
Yes.
You know, and you kind of so anyway, my darkest time was that feeling of I already had this flawed body and now my behavior is becoming flawed and no one's going to love me, you know, or I don't fit anywhere in the world. And I never went to self-harm, but that's the point when many people do check out. And I just remember that response from my dad. I've never thought of self-harming in those real tough times. So awesome. I've had a few, but awesome. That was the first that made me know I could.
Yeah. That is awesome. Your dad sounds like an amazing guy. And what great advice to give to your daughter or your son. You can always come back home. No matter what you do, you can always come back home. You can always pivot. You can always turn and things can be better. So thank you for sharing that. That's really powerful information though, you know. So as you look back over your life today, how would you say dealing with anxiety has kind of shaped you as a person?
Kind of rules your life, you know, and it definitely shaped me. I would say the good ways is in being a workaholic. I accomplished a lot. It gave me a good quality of life.
Sure.
Some of the kind of, what would you call it? Some people call it impulsive. That's not the word that I would use, but it's overbearing energy that you have to channel out. It makes you need to do something, yeah. You know? And I always found constructive things to do, not always, most of the time,
yes.
Found constructive things to do and was rewarded for those things. So I would say that's the good way anxiety shaped my life. The bad way is relationships are a challenge for me because I have to be with someone who can accept that weird little things that are not your fault really trigger my anxiety. And I may respond like it's your fault, but it really isn't. It's just my body is hardwired to go into fight or flight.
Sure. Absolutely. That makes sense. And that's very, very powerful. I appreciate you sharing that. So as you look back over your life, would you do anything differently?
Yes and no, you know, yes, if I had the master blueprint from the beginning, but I don't have that. So I just don't spend time there. I didn't, you know, I've gotten some A's and I've gotten some F's in life and all that mess.
Dr. Felicia got an F? Are you kidding me? Dr. Felicia got an F?
My name starts with an F.
Wow.
You know, some amazing things I've done and some amazing faux pas I've done. And I don't know. I just think it's the beauty of life. It's the mess of life. I don't desire to change it. I would have been wiser. I know in the future, do things this way, not that way. But I don't live in regret. I mean, there were times when I was younger and I had a lot of regret and it just robbed me of the life I had. And so I just, it is what it is. Like, I don't wish to go back and fix what I can. I'd rather live now and sort of fix it in action if I really need to fix it.
That's a great perspective to have, and I appreciate you sharing that. You know, so Dr. Felicia, you know, we're coming off a tough year. 2020 was tough for a lot of people. They lost monies, lost material possessions, lost loved ones, lost hope in some situations. So for those folks out there who are dealing with some type of loss, what words of encouragement can you provide them with to let them know that a better day is to come?
Life is beautiful. One of the things about lockdown that people heard is I have to stay in my house. And, you know, even when I'm getting depressed, you can go outside, go sit among trees, go to the park. You mentioned when we talked, you know, before that you took a Greyhound bus to a better life. You know, take the bus. You can take the mega bus for like $20. Go. This is a beautiful world despite the ugly that might be in your face.
Yes.
People are beautiful, but you got to take that first step and take a risk. I remember I was driving on the freeway. And I see on the over, because by the way, you can drive across the whole country, even in lockdown. And I just needed to take a drive. And I drove to Garden of the Gods because it's just a beautiful place that lifts my spirits.
Yes.
And it was crowded, by the way, during lockdown. Really? So
that's where everybody was. That's where they were hanging out at.
Yeah. And the beach, the water. I mean, there's natural marvels that, you know, God is wise and took care of us. So there's mountains, lift your spirit, trees, the ocean, go sit there. It's there. Just go be there. And it doesn't need to be an elaborate vacation. It doesn't need to be fancy, you know. But if your spirit needs that, you know, nature has figured out how to lift your spirits.
That is profound. Folks out there listening, I hope you have been very inspired by Dr. Felicia Clark's story. Gave you some very sound advice. One of the best things I did, Dr. Felicia, in my darkest times, was taking that bus from Five Points out to Mullen High School. Gave me a chance to kind of just see something different. So, your advice is spot on. So, Dr. Felicia, if people want to get in touch with you again, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So my website is drfeliciaclark.com. I also write. I write articles on Medium and some other popular outlets. Just if you send me a note on my website, it's probably the easiest.
Okay. So follow her. She made it very, very easy for you. Follow her, connect with her, get her book. You're talking about a person who's kind of been there, done that. So Dr. Felicia, you know, we transition now to our favorite part of our show. This is going to be fun. It's going to be painless.
Oh, pop quiz.
It's going to be painless. This is our rapid fire purpose questions. I want you to
Dr. Watson, you're not fair.
I'm going to go really slow because you're my comrade. And I know you have great responses you're going to give us to these questions, you know. So the first question is, Dr. Felicia, what gives your life meaning?
Life itself. I'm really grateful for life.
Absolutely. I love it. What one word best describes you?
Unpredictable.
Okay. That's a good one there. Good. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Slide down the hill, the snow, like in, you know, the snow sledding with my dad.
Okay. Yes, I love that as well. Yes, I love it. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Travel. Okay.
Who inspires you the most?
My sisters.
Okay, awesome. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Learning, listening to white people's speeches. I like to listen to a lot of intelligent people that gave speeches.
Awesome.
From all ages.
Yes. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Seeing through walls.
Oh, I love that. Was that Superman who could see through walls?
Yeah.
X-ray vision. There you go. I love it. I love it. What sparks your creativity?
Dance.
Okay. Awesome. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know. I don't. Oh, boy. So much. I think I would ban all the toxic chemicals that are allowed in grooming products, water, in clothes, carpet, everywhere.
You would get my vote. I love that. Yes. You got my vote. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
You.
Oh, look at it. I love you already, Dr. Lisa.
And why? I admire and I just adore people that come from a background such as yours that find their joy. And I just love to see how they live and how they move in the world.
Awesome. We're going to have to arrange that one day here. I really appreciate it. Yes, I love it. I love it. What do you love to do for others?
I love to watch people and give something that they need. Like when you watch, most people go with a very chronic need unmet.
Sure.
And it kind of shows up and reveals when you pay attention. And I love meeting a simple need that's not hard for them to have, but that will change their life.
I love it. What's been the best? Go ahead.
Just impact their life. Change their life might be dramatic, but I really enjoy meeting a key need that people have.
I love it. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
That my work, that the calling on my life really, which is helping women break up with body shame, I won't say her name, but there was a lady who has this amazing program for children to play. Sure. And I just love her work. And she felt that my work gave her confidence to do that. So the biggest compliment is that my work is not only impactful, that it had a ripple effect on other people.
Awesome. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Try new things.
Okay, good. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Deciding that I wanted a different life and standing my ground on that.
Yeah, good. I like that. What does success look like for you?
Balance. Okay. That you achieve the goal, but not with not in sacrifice to other important things in your life.
Absolutely. I agree 110%. What are you most grateful for?
My mom. I got a great mom.
Yes. What's your mom's name?
She's still with us. I'm sorry.
What's your mom's name?
Jerry.
Jerry, Miss Jerry. Hello out there. You gotta make sure she listens to the podcast. Shouting her out. I love it. Yes. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
That every level, you're like a new dummy. You know, when you level up, you just know what you don't know and you thought you knew, you know, like, you know, what a doggone thing. And then you get in this new realm and it's like, wow, like you're illiterate over and over again when you move into a new realm.
Right. It's kind of a scary place to be, but a fun place to be at the same time, right? Yeah. Yes. And last but not least, Dr. Felicia, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Wow. As intelligent and compassionate.
Yeah. Great answers. Dr. Felicia, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. He's a little nervous, but you did a great job. Great answers. Gave us a chance to really get to know you better. And it was very profound. So I really appreciate you sharing that as well. So folks out there, again, I hope you've been inspired by Dr. Felicia Clark's story. Dr. Felicia, if people want to get a hold of you again one more time, what's the best way to do that?
So DrFeliciaClark.com. And then also look for me on a new app called Girl. And my salon is called Goddess Conversations.
All right. Girl, did I say that right? Girl.
Yeah. Bless women, girl.
I love it. So lastly, Dr. Felicia Clark, our podcast centers around two things, okay? Purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Everyone has a purpose, even if you run from it and deny it, you have it. Yeah. And you are uniquely designed for that purpose. And so when you're walking your purpose, resilience comes natural. It's divinely ordered.
I love it. So profound, so succinct. I really appreciate that. Dr. Felicia Clark, I really appreciate you. Everyone, I want you to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories Podcast. Download it, rate it, share with your folks. Again, Dr. Felicia Clark, thank you very much for joining me today. Everyone else out there, thank you for listening. If you're someone out there who has an amazing story, we want you to share with us. Go to TAWatson.com, share with us there. And for everyone else out there listening, join us for the next podcast. Everyone, God bless, peace, and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.